In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's 7:04 on a Monday morning. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. This is The Steakhouse. Thanks so much for being with us. We got a few hours together. We're in for the morning shift. Don't be alarmed. I have no intention of getting up at 4:30 for the next 5-10 years of my life. Nor was I asked to. I did it for a long time. It'll take some years off your life.
God bless you, man.
Yeah, a lot of years.
4:05 alarm came quick this morning.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I jumped out of bed. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey.
Wakey, wakey. I get to work with Steaky, Steaky. So you're over
like
here.
That.
Yes, indeed. And Sandra will be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Russell will be here Friday. We'll do what we do on our show. We'll buy or sell later in the week. We'll do Atlanta Eats on radio. We'll do Three Strikes. We'll belly up to the bar. Things like land. We'll do tailgate. All the different things that you get used to. And then A new iteration, I guess, on some level of the show coming up next Monday. Is that right? Next Monday. Can't tell you too much, but most of your favorite voices will be rocking and rolling, right?
Yeah, that'll be the plan. And we'll have a special surprise for you as far as a new member goes, but we can't get too deep into that quite
yet. Wow. A new member of the morning shift. And Bo is a daddy at some point very, very soon. Young Pork Chop will rear her ugly head or her beautiful head.
Beautiful head.
At some point coming up as well.
Speaking of Atlanta Eats on radio, my sister-in-law, Nicole, she's a massive Atlanta Eats fan.
Yeah.
I've told you this a lot of times. Her fiance's birthday is tomorrow. So we celebrated with the family last night, just, you know, fun little family dinner. But they went to Bully Boy.
Bully Boy, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, how'd you hear about that place? She said, Steak, Atlanta Eats. And they said it was really good. Bully Boy is in, it's right next to Two Urban Licks.
Okay, I was going to say it's in town. Yeah, so, it must have been one of our blogs, because I haven't been, but I know we put out a lot of stuff on Fresh Places. The hot place right now that my wife's in love with is that Del Bar in Buckhead. That's a scene, kiddos.
There's one right now for Reddit, too.
Yeah, the Del Bar Buckhead is like old school Buckhead dining. The outer patio and terrace
Sick.
Is spectacular. It is a C&B scene kind of vibe. Mediterranean food is very hot these days. So, yes, on occasion, folks are like, what's the cool restaurant? It's like, dude, I got three kids. I live in like Brookhaven. I'm not that cool, you know. The cool restaurants are more closer to town. But this is one of those old school Buckhead restaurants. So just a little tidbit out there as well. Interesting weekend. Yesterday, the rain comes. Everybody kind of escapes. Probably watches Connecticut and South Carolina as UConn absolutely overwhelmed. It's only a 6-point favorite last night, and they win that game absolutely going away. Another national title for Gino Auriemma. Obviously, you lose Juju Watkins for UCLA, which really took away from what would have been a special matchup because they beat Connecticut earlier in the year. So that happens. Obviously, the Florida Gators and Houston, I'm pretty good about point spreads. And I was thinking before I looked, is like, I wonder what that number is going to be. Florida has got a lot of juice, but maybe the most talented team of the four that are there. But Houston, a resilient team, finds a way to come back against Duke. Duke led with, I'm trying to see all the different numbers. I think they led by 9 with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I saw 11 with 2.5 minutes left. And CBS gets a big number over the weekend as well. Most watched Final Four since 2017, the network averaged 15.3 million viewers across Saturday's games. I thought the start to the Auburn-Florida game was great. Haymakers back and forth, kind of settled in around halftime coming out into the second half, and then Florida did what Florida does late in the game and just put it away.
Dude, Walter Clayton is just
total stud.
He's a March Madness friggin' superstar. Walter Clayton Jr. is just ridiculous. A totally dominant player. We got a ton of Florida fans that listen to this show. A bunch of them headed to San Antonio. A huge win for the Gators. And then the epic collapse of Duke. They led by 9 with 2:08 left.
Oh.
So think about all the Duke money, right? All the fancy pants folks that go to Duke, have that Duke education, titans of industry, incredible alumni base, all assuming that they're going to Monday night. They poured in a lot of money to pay for these kids. Did you see the Wall Street Journal article about the dark money that goes into Duke basketball?
No, I'd love to see that.
Cover of the Wall Street Journal, an entire article about this fund that is set up to funnel money into the Duke basketball program, and that while there's a name attached, there's a name of the fund, there's no names attached to it, meaning none of these guys want to be associated with how much money they're putting in there, but it is it's a slush fund of sorts that is not as public as other groups. Are you looking at it now?
Yeah, the One Vision Futures Fund.
Yeah, which basically, cover of the Wall Street Journal, talks about how much money of secret folks are putting into that program. Well, anyway, when you have a chance to get to a national title, when you lead by 9 with 2:09 left, John Shire, coach of the Blue Devils, knows they just had to finish the deal.
I feel we were one of one in terms of the way we put this thing together. It's been a magical ride. We believe with everything we had, we were going to win a championship here. And I feel for them because they're competitive and they're going to think about plays. I didn't help them enough. And that's where my mind goes. And I couldn't be more proud of them, though. This is part of it. This is part of it, unfortunately. You know, we haven't been in a lot of those games. And we've watched a lot of game situations and practiced, and that's where I wish I could have helped them more.
That's the brutal reality of high-profile sports, is that only one team has the end to the season that they desire. I mean, Bruce Pearl and Auburn had an unbelievable season. Didn't happen.
No.
John Shire, Duke, Cooper Flagg, all the talent that they had, up by 9, 2 minutes left, didn't happen. Only one team, Florida or Houston, will be able to cut down the nets tonight. And as John Shire said, you know, I liked what he said, taking the blame. I didn't do enough.
You know, when you're a coach and you blow a lead like that, you're absolutely going to blame yourself.
Yeah.
What could we have run differently? Where did I let it get away? Here he is talking about what went wrong, because something did go wrong as they blow that lead and Duke's not in the national title.
Well, it's hard to process still. And, you know, I thought our guys did an incredible job the whole game. And, you know, I thought we had some good looks, didn't finish. You have to give Houston a ton of credit. And then still, even with that, you know, we have the lead, you know, with under a minute to go. And I couldn't be more proud. I'm not about to hang our head.
Right,
I mean, this is part of it.
We get it. But, again, you're down. You're up 6. They make a 3, and then the biggest play of the game, they steal the inbounds, and they get it to 1, and then you miss the foul shot, and now they have the lead.
Well, I'm very critical of officials across all sports. I thought the call on Cooper Flagg when he was trying to rebound off the free throw, he didn't even touch the guy. That was a horrible and highly consequential call.
You don't have to make that call.
Absolutely not.
I mean, let him play. I mean, dude, let the game come down to somebody making a
shot. And Raft said that, and Grant Hill said that, and Ian Eagle were like, you got to let him play. That is a horrible call because of how consequential
it was.
Yeah,
you don't need to. Unless somebody gets absolutely mauled on that rebound.
He didn't even touch him.
Let Houston go down.
Sorry, he's 6'8 and got a long reach. I mean, he reached around the guy, didn't even impede what he was trying to do. There was hardly any contact, if any at all.
Let him go down and make a field goal. Let Houston go make a
shot.
Don't put him on the line
Ridiculous.
On the other end of it, Cooper Flagg. Now, he had a chance to make a shot. They played pretty good deep, but that's what Houston should have had to do.
Right.
On the other end, Kelvin Sampson, I guess, would be the oldest coach to win a national. What is he, at 69 years old? Here's Kelvin Sampson talking about what we already know. Houston's a tough basketball team.
I hear what people stuff. You know, do this, do that. Duke's great. John Shire is awesome. But don't sleep on Houston. Don't sleep on Houston. We weren't 34-4 playing in the Toy Poodle League. We were 19-1 in the Big 12. Playing in the Big 12 helped us. Shout out to my Big 12 brethren, Coach Brett Yermark, and all the great coaches in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, he shouted out everybody in the Big 12, including the commissioner. But Houston right now, he said it, don't sleep on Houston. On a nation-leading 18-game win streak, Stake, they are 35-4 overall. This is their first national championship game since 1984. Depending on where you look right now, I see Florida as a one-point favorite. You see a pick'em, and the total, the over-under, is 140.5 points. What time is tip-off tonight? 10:05 p.m.
Probably what 9:20 or something. It'll be later than we.
It'll
like.
Be late, man.
You got any thought, any feel for that, Houston?
I just think Florida's too deep, man. Walter Clayton Jr. This guy is made for the moment.
They have the size, right? Yeah. They are maybe not as tough. Houston's the toughest kids always are.
I mean, L.J. Cryer's been playing college basketball forever.
Yeah, L.J. Cryer had 6 threes the other day. Without him, they had no chance. I don't think you can count on Houston to shoot it that well in terms of a Cryer. Yeah, I kind of like Florida tonight. They've had a lot of great players from Hakeem Olajuwon, Elvin Hayes, to this version of it. But Houston has never won a national title, and I don't think they're going to win one
so
tonight.
I have a question for all of our Florida listeners. If you do get to cut down the nets tonight, where does that rank in your daily bragging rights? Because I have cousins that went to Florida. All of a sudden, the cousins group chat starts going crazy on Saturday night. I'm like, okay.
Right. Now they're yapping.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You know, I sent a bunch of gifts of Kirby Smart kissing the national championship football trophy.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this apples to apples? Where are the bragging rights? Where does that stand? Are Florida fans now going to talk down to Georgia Bulldogs because you might be the national champions in basketball?
So you root for Houston?
No, I think Florida's going to win.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not rooting for Florida, but yeah. I think they're going
to
win.
All right. We'll have more on that coming up. We're going to talk to we will talk about what happened to Duke basketball and the absolute possibility, which is slight to zero, that Cooper Flagg comes back. Our buddy Jason Evans, who has the number one Duke podcast in America, he'll join us later on. When we come back, lots to get to. Atlanta Braves, top of the list. A weekend that started so wonderful and now ended with a thud on Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk some Braves. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Matt Olson, right center field, back to back.
It's the Steakhouse. Monday morning. Yeah, the morning shift. They got stuff going on. Mikey is in Disney. Bo is getting ready to have their baby this week, it looks like. I'll be here filling in for 4 hours every morning myself. Drew Butler, Sandy, Rusty. If you don't get a chance to listen, sometimes 9 to 11. You should be on the Odyssey app. You should just be on it all the time, as much as you can. Listen to any show you want. Skip around to any segment you want, any interviews. It's the best app in the radio business. We're the number one sports talk radio station by a country mile in Atlanta with 110,000 watts and home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United, home of March Madness, home of it all, and lots more on the way over the course of the next few hours.
Yeah, look at like some dicey weather down south of the city right now. A tornado warning has been issued. Looks like it's just south of Peachtree City. I am not a meteorologist, but I'm watching the TV right now, so stay safe if you're out there, and as everybody's waking up on this Monday, trekking out to work, it seems like the weather is pretty treacherous down south of Atlanta.
What do you, I would say, Dylon, what would you say about the mindset of young Bo and young Mikey when they walk in here? Is out of the two of them, who's providing the most juice, positive energy? Who's the best morning person of those guys?
Consistently, I would have to say Mike. Mike is Mr. Consistent. He's always going to give you that level of energy that you always need. Bo is hit or miss. Bo sometimes can be really energetic, but sometimes he needs that pick-me-up, and he needs to feed off the energy of Mike. So Mike is Mr. Consistent, but sometimes Bo can bring it a little bit more than Mike, but he's very inconsistent
Does
as
Mikey
far as his energy goes.
Have to set him straight some mornings if he finds himself getting
sideways. All right. I mean, if Bo starts to raise his, you know, octave up a few too many notches, Michael just hit him up and be straight up like, why are you yelling? Let's tone it down. Right. Let's not be yelling here early in the morning.
I feel like Bo's the type of guy who can be pouty. He can kind of come in the morning.
He can work himself up.
Shoulders are kind of slumped down, and he's just pouting.
Mikey has to remind him, we're just doing radio. Don't get that worked up.
You know, there's this thing that Bo does sometimes, and this is when Mike knows Bo may need a little bit of a pick-me-up, is when he throws on the hood. Now, sometimes he can throw on his hoodie, and maybe it's just because his ears get cold. But sometimes when he throws on the hood, that might be, you know, he's going a little bit of an episode.
Mike tell when I was doing mornings, guys I worked with, they look over. The mic was here, and I'd be like, I'm rubbing my head. I'm just like, and they'd be like, oh, dude, Stakey was, we know where he was last night.
He was out painting the town red last night.
Well, look, in order to be as successful as you've been in sports radio and Atlanta sports radio for 25-plus years, like, just because you wake up at 4 does not mean you go to bed at 9.
Well,
I mean, if you're a man about town, you have to report on the happenings of what is going on in said town.
That's a young man's game, though. I'll tell you. We were going hard. I mean, it's 7 Night of the Zone, especially, where there were no rules. There was absolutely – it was just caution to the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there may have been a couple of times right from the club, right to the show. Dude, I do
not recommend
it.
And I bet you those were the
it.
Best shows.
No. You're fine for an hour. Yeah. You're like, listen, at this point, let's just, you know – Let's go get a big cup of coffee and go right to the show.
Because an hour of sleep would make it way worse.
So you're an hour in, you're like, oh, okay. And then right around, I'd say, 90 minutes in.
Like where we're at right now.
Yeah.
We started at 6, it's 7:28.
You start rubbing your head and you go, God, I'll never do this again. I apologize. I'll be better. How did I let this happen? Right?
So what is the remedy in that moment? More coffee?
I mean,
do you go run and get some, you know, greasy breakfast? Like, what do you do? Back in those days, there was no Uber Eats.
You look at your co-hosts and you say, like, you're going to be talking a lot. Right,
take
now,
it over.
Right?
Yeah, I'm tapping you.
Yeah, there's no hair of the dog when you're on the radio. That's a good way to lose your license and never have a job again. So you just have to, you battle.
Yeah.
You got to put on the boxing gloves and just battle your way through it.
You're in the foxhole, dude, taking grenades.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. That was a young man's game. Great to be here for the morning for this week. Sandy will be rusty, the whole deal. So the Braves come home on Friday, and it went exactly according to plan, right? So what was the conventional wisdom, Drew? You started against the two best teams in baseball. I think they were combined 15-0 by the time we got home to get the Marlins. Marlins was a team playing 500 baseball, and you say, listen, I know what's back of the baseball card says about this lineup, and the back of the baseball card don't lie. We're going to start hitting, right?
Yes.
Obviously, you had
this is conventional wisdom.
Yeah, you had Schwellenbach on the hill. You say this is maybe our best pitcher right now. Lineup will get cooking. You look up. You got Zuna go yard. You got Olson go yard. It's a 10-0 number, and you're like, the world is back on its proper
energy
axis.
Was great at Truist Park, totally sold out crowd, beautiful evening as well.
Yeah, it was kind of like, all right, we're back, you know, we're back on track. We're exactly where we need to be. And let's just dust off the Marlins this week and get ready for the Phillies. The problem when you start 0-7 is the margin for error. You know, you go 1-1, you're still 7 games under 500. You have an ugly 1-8. Based on what nobody sees coming. What do we talk about sports or trying to bet on sports or any of that? Nobody would have imagined one night removed from a 10-0 onslaught that you go out the next night and get completely shut down. And then you get the rain out. So now you've got 3 days to sit with a 1-8 record, right? Yes, listen.
1-8, it's the worst record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Dodgers have lost, by the way. I think they lost to the Phillies Friday. That was their first loss. Padres lost back-to-back Friday and Saturday. I think they beat the Cubbies yesterday. So those teams came back down to earth, and it's not like they're undefeated teams. Cubs had a really good series against San Diego over the weekend. So it just you put yourself in a hole. Now, the beauty of baseball, it's 162 games, so any hole is not insurmountable in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, what happened in week one with Jerks and Profar, what happened in week one with Ronaldo Lopez, what happened week one with losing seven right out of the gate, it changed the complexion of your entire season.
Without question. And I think we as Braves fans have come to expect winning series. 3 out of 4, 2 out of 3, sweep a series here, sweep a series there. That's been the expectation. That has been the standard of Atlanta Braves baseball over the last 3 to 4 seasons. It is that long game consistency. Hey, we might drop a game, but we'll win the next two. Hey, we might lose 2 in a row, but we'll rip off 7 in a row. Right now, I think every Braves fan is worried because, yes, it's only 8 games into the season, but you just don't have that expectation for 2025.
You took some major shots across the bow, and I'm talking about losing players, right? Ronaldo Lopez, your second starter, can't stay healthy. Obviously, the Jerks and Profar, absolute disaster.
Yeah.
You had him penciled in the top of your order. He was your offseason acquisition. You don't want to have to play the guys now regularly that you're having to play. Jared Kelnick certainly wasn't supposed to be in the lineup on a regular basis. And then you go out. Cal Quantrill, was it, on Saturday night?
Cal Quantrill.
Yeah. He,
Cal Quantrill.
Quantrill.
You know what? The game was manageable. We had opportunities. We couldn't get a big hit again. You know, because we kind of got a little closer and put a little heat on their bullpen, it might have been a different story. I don't know. I guess just, you know, he's moving the ball around, changing speeds, what guys do when they frustrate you. You know, don't take anything away from him. I mean, you know, we were coming off a hot game. I thought maybe he'd carry over tonight, and it didn't. He shut us down.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought there'd be a carryover. You know, the momentum of when you start hitting, especially the formula when you're playing at home and you start to hit. You've seen some big offensive numbers this year already for teams that get hot. Yankees are an example of that. Red Sox, I think, went out and just pounded people over the weekend. The Cardinals, I don't know how many runs they scored, but like 30, or they scored 20 yesterday or something. So normally you're playing at home, i.e. the Dodgers went on their run, right? The Yankees were doing the same over the weekend. Braves don't have it. They get shut out. Now you have to deal with the Phillies coming off a big series with the Dodgers. And again, because you're in that hole, you're sitting at 1-8. Margin for error, very small, right?
Very small.
So we shall see. Should be good crowds, though, this week. You know, obviously it's a big sports week in Atlanta. A lot of folks will be in town for the Masters, try to go to a Braves game as well. Maybe they'll do some golf during the day, come back and be over at Truist Park Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, night games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Chris Sale on the mound tomorrow night for the Braves, then Spencer Schwellenbach on Wednesday night, and then A.J. Smith-Shawver scheduled to go Thursday. 7:15, first pitch each game this week down at Truist Park. So look, I mean, to your point, the margin of error is so small. You almost have to go 3-0 against the Phillies. You at least have to go 2-1.
Well, if you're not winning series, then you keep going in the wrong direction.
Correct.
You can't have that. What did we just hear from a buddy of yours or someone said in Augusta?
Hampton Inn off Washington Road, Wednesday and Thursday, $2,200 a night.
Are you part of a group that rents a house? Do you know anybody who lives in Augusta? What are those houses going for? They're tax-free.
Yes.
Virtually the entire city is renting out their
home.
Your
mortgage is getting paid for this week. Your yearly mortgage payment is getting paid for this week.
I want to hear from somebody that knows the actual numbers in Augusta, from the private chefs to the celebs, the airfield and the private planes. The whole bougie world rolls into Augusta coming up this week. We'll do some more on the Masters coming up as well. And now the Falcons ready to pass on another Georgia. Drew Butler, maybe we'll do a little tailgate. You'll tell us.
I would love to do a tailgate.
Well, that's what he's here for. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 7:42, good morning. Number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. We got Dylon, we got Day-Day, we got Drew. I see an alliteration, a lot of D's. A lot of D's. And then we got me, Steak Shapiro in the Steakhouse. We got 4 hours every morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Coming up, we got a tailgate. is the complexion of college sports about to change literally within hours? Drew will try to make sense of that coming up as well. Georgia, a massive series in baseball over the weekend. And, of course, the national title. We'll talk about Duke a little bit later. How did they blow this thing? Is there any chance they keep this team together in some combination? And the article in the Wall Street Journal about dark money and Duke basketball that appeared Friday morning. They're not having a good run. They're not happy.
No.
They're not happy with the White Lotus. We'll talk about that and things I learned. They're not happy with the article in the Wall Street Journal. So if you're a hater on Duke, you've had some fun over the last few
days. I almost went to Duke?
To be a punter?
Yeah.
Who recruited you?
His name was Glenn Spencer, but Ted Roof was the head coach back then. Ted Roof.
Former
Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket. Yes. And a great, great person. I'm still in contact with Coach Roof. He is just an awesome guy. I was going to Duke, man. I loved it. Took my official visit, was fired up, was drinking the Kool-Aid, and then...
Georgia hadn't offered, obviously.
No, not yet.
Did Dad... What was Dad's advice?
Dad's advice was Duke is a $250,000 scholarship.
Yeah.
And Georgia is just not coming to the table, so you should take the Duke scholarship.
At what point did Georgia come to the table? What had to happen?
Eric Berry went to Tennessee. My high school classmate Cam Hayward went to Ohio State. Cam Newton went to Florida.
But they're all playing different positions.
Yeah, but it's the number. You have a scholarship number. So, and Georgia historically had not recruited or offered kickers and punters, and times had just started to change back then.
So Mark Richt was not offering kickers and punters back then?
No.
So
got kind of left holding the bag.
Till when? When did you?
About a week before signing day, they offered me a scholarship.
How what was that like?
I mean, I almost ran down 316 barefooted to sign papers. Yeah. I was ready to go. Coach Dave Johnson was the tight ends coach. He was also the special teams coach. He called me and said, we got some good news.
What did you love most about the Duke visit?
I mean, it is just obviously an incredible institution. Yeah, the prestige is unbelievable. Yeah. Went to a Duke-Maryland basketball game, a women's basketball game, so I was inside Cameron Indoor Stadium. It was 1-2, so that was really cool.
Right.
You know, the campus is obviously gorgeous. It's a five-hour drive straight up 85. I thought that was pretty doable as well.
All right. Well, things work out for a reason, though.
They absolutely do.
Mr. NFL, Mr. All-American, the whole deal. Doing mornings here. We'll get to the tailgate. Are you – you're a big podcast guy. You're a big social media guy. You're pretty worldly for a young man in terms of the stuff you read and follow. Do you follow this CEO morning routine stuff that you get bombarded with?
Yes.
So what would you say is the given on the CEO/way to start your day stuff? Give me a call. We'll trade back and forth. Give me an example of one of them.
Don't hit snooze. Like, I think that's pretty good one. Don't hit snooze. Get up out of bed.
The cold plunge, CEO of cold plunge in the morning.
Look, I love a cold plunge. Unfortunately, at my house, I don't have one readily available. I mentioned I was in California this past week. My buddy does have a cold plunge, so
I do it every morning.
Got in there. Yeah, it's awesome. Three minutes, 6 minutes, whatever you need.
What would you say when you hear the whole morning routine is the average wake up, they would say, for this, you know, highly ultra.
You mean timing wise?
Yes, what time? What do you say if you had to give an average aggregate time?
Of a CEO or what people should do?
You know the shtick.
Yeah,
the
I know
shtick.
You do. 5:30 a.m.
I'd say even earlier.
Okay.
4:48, I'm up.
I mean, that's crazy. Dude, that's crazy to me.
Have you seen the Mark Wahlberg routine?
Yes.
You guys know the Mark Wahlberg routine? Wahlberg wakes up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I think he prays and meditates for 20 minutes or half an hour. He plays 18 or 36 holes by 6 a.m.
Yeah, he plays a round of golf by himself like in an hour and a half.
Yeah. He is running to the holes, I think.
Yeah, on his golf cart.
Then he's in his home gym by 6:30, hour and a half workout. So he's prayed. He's played 18 holes of golf. He does his cold plunge. And then whatever it is, at 7:52, he gets the kids up, and he's already basically done what most of us would do in a week.
But you could also listen to, like, Andrew Huberman, Tim Ferriss, Dr. Peter Attia.
Yeah, what are they
saying? They say you need sleep.
Right.
Like, yes, of course, it's good to get a morning routine
in. But Wahlberg is if you're asleep at 9:30 and you wake up at 4:30, you get 7 hours. Not horrible. I know, listen.
Most of us have kids. Most of us have other responsibilities.
I get it. You got a journal. Journal? You got a journal. Okay. You got to take a cold punch. Okay. You got to do a sauna. Okay. You got to get your workout. Okay. You got to meditate. Okay. You got to check all these things. And then you're gonna be, the CEO of said corporation. Dollars just fly. It gets the guilt level when you scroll. What do they call the death scroll?
Yeah, the death scroll, doom scroll.
Is that why he's successful? And I'm sitting here in my pajamas eating Captain Crunch, and it's 9:47 a.m.
Look at Warren Buffett. What does he have every day? McDonald's and Dairy Queen, right?
Is that really his diet?
Yeah, you've never seen the videos of Warren Buffett in Omaha goes to McDonald's every single morning. If the market's up that morning, he splurges for an egg McMuffin with sausage, and if it's down, he just gets the sausage.
Seriously.
He's got the exact change in his car.
He's in the same
upholder.
He's in the same house.
Of course.
That he
in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah.
60 years old or something like that, the house, yeah. Right? All right, let's do this.
Surely you enjoyed the Final Four over the weekend. The national championship game is set for tonight. Florida taking on Houston in San Antonio. Florida, of course, outlasted Auburn in the early game on Saturday. And as we have discussed in depth, Houston comes roaring back. They were down 9 with just over 2 minutes to go to upset Duke. So the national championship game will tip off tonight, Steak. Should be a really good game. I just think Florida's got too much depth, too much talent. Houston and Kelvin Sampson and this Cougar team, look, it's been a good storyline, but I'm afraid it ends tonight.
You held Duke to 67 points. That's spectacular, but that's what Houston does. They're lockdown defenders. They're tough. They have more offense than they've had in the past. That's why they're in the national title game. But Florida comes at you in waves, and I've watched them 3 games in a row with a second-half surge. And when they get on those surges, there's not a lot you can do. I don't see any reason they won't have a couple of those moments again. I like the Florida Gators to get another national title, and I believe, would he be the youngest coach to win a national title? Todd Golden? So, youngest all-time. If Kelvin Sampson wins, he'll be the oldest all-time as Houston, a great history of basketball, try to get their first ever national title.
Tip-off tonight, 8:50 p.m. Eastern time over on CBS. Hey, there is some important things happening today in the world of college sports. Judge Wilken has a hearing on the final approval of the House versus NCAA settlement today. What is the House versus NCAA settlements? Something that you've probably heard. You might be on the outside looking in. You might be a casual sports fan. You've heard about this. House versus NCAA. House versus NCAA. What is it? It is the official ruling that will decide if schools are allowed to legally and directly pay student athletes. So the reason why there's been this big push, Steak, is because coaches, administrators, institutions want some sort of regulatory oversight on what is happening in the world of college sports, NIL, pay to play, dark money, this and that. Whenever the House versus NCAA settlement is finalized, schools will have the ability to pay $20.5 million directly to their student athletes, all student athletes.
But how does it change what's going on now? It'll be capped. Will there finally be a number you cannot go over for the entire program?
The entire athletic program will be capped per institution at $20.5 million per year. Now, is there an opportunity for collectives or a dark money fund to continue raising outside money? Yes, of course. And why is that? Because the schools themselves are not paying those dollars to the student athletes. $20.5 million is the starting point for the cap, all right? In the NFL, quarterbacks usually demand around 20% of the salary cap of a team. Now, that's just a football team.
Yeah.
20% of $20.5 million is $4.1 million. Do you think any institution will directly pay one student athlete, that of course being the quarterback of their football team, 20% of their salary cap?
If it was Cooper Flagg coming back to Duke and it's $20 million, yeah, I think they would, depending how big a star it is. Depending how much it does for the program, depending what position that player puts you in, But listen, it is the most out of control system. There's no cap. There's no limits. There's nothing about the current rules that has any governance on them whatsoever. The ACC is hoping that if you put that number, because the SEC is simply outspending everybody else. It's one of the reasons why ACC basketball is feeling it, because the SEC is like, we're going to spend everywhere. I heard that Georgia basketball outspent Auburn this year, by the way. Yeah. Total income.
Wow.
And that's speaks to what a disappointment in my eyes Georgia
was. Of course. And Auburn's starting five average age was older than the Atlanta Hawks' starting five average age.
And they were not getting paid at the same level because some of those guys were not the blue chippers. But anyway, a lot going on around that sport. It's not going to change until you start setting some limits. That's why it's going to be the big boys. It's going to be the SEC. Yeah. They have the most
money. That's right.
And listen, Silas Demery from Georgia is supposedly getting paid $2 million.
What?
To go to Connecticut, close to $2 million to go play for Danny Hurley at Connecticut.
Unbelievable. Yeah, don't expect a decision on this House versus NCAA settlement today, but one of the final hearings, Judge Wilkin will have that today, so we'll be following that. Check it out on social media. I am at Drew Butler. Another piece of news, because Georgia's G-Day spring game is coming up this Saturday. Looks like the weather's going to be perfect if you're making your way out to Athens. Over the weekend, the Dogs lost a four-star commit to Miami, cornerback Jontavious Wyman. He flips. He commits to the U. Georgia currently only has five commits in their 2026 cycle stake. That puts them at 26th in the national
rankings.
Doesn't
mean anything. Right?
I totally agree with you.
Right?
Does not mean anything whatsoever.
Yeah, Russ, you'll have more on that coming up. Obviously, Georgia baseball takes it on the chin in Austin.
They lose, get swept by the Texas Longhorns after a blitz of a start to the season for Georgia baseball. So the number three Dogs, they get swept by number five Texas over the weekend.
Hey, when we come back, there's mock drafts all over the place. Matter of fact, the AJC put one out. I don't think Falcon/Georgia fans are going to like what it says. Because if you weren't happy with Terry Fontenot and Raheem, you ain't going to be happy when you read this. We'll tell you what it is when we come back and the ongoing saga of Kirk Cousins. I asked Drew Butler. He's a very practical man. Where do you go from here? Hey, this is the Steakhouse. We got two more hours. Good morning. What's your morning routine? Get that sauna. Get that journaling. Get that meditation. Get that cold plunge. Be up by 4:30. Come on! Sports Radio 99 Game.